This is Audible.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents Mogul by Katie Evans. Read by Grace Grant and Sebastian York.
Playlist. Haunting. Halsey. Stitches. Shawn Mendes. Strangers. Halsey. Turn Me On. David Guetta. Heartless. The Fray. Body Party. Ciara. Skin. Rihanna. Faithfully. Journey. I'm Gonna Get Ya Good. Shania Twain. Story of My Life. One Direction. Wait For You. Nelly Furtado. She for Liz. Parachute. This Time Around. Tove Lo. Steal Your Heart. Augustana. Burnin' Up. Jonas Brothers. The Scientist. Coldplay. How Deep Is Your Love? Calvin Harris and the Disciples. All In. Lifehouse. Room 1103. Sarah.
Four Seasons Concierge. This is Sarah speaking.
Sarah, this is the gentleman from room 1103.
Oh, yes. How can I help you, sir?
I'd like your panties in a little wad in my pocket, and you thrashing in my bed.
Blush. Right away, sir.
Sarah, did you manage to get those tickets for Hamilton?
Yes, I sent them over, I tell my co-worker Victor, as I lower my head to keep him from seeing how flushed I got after the phone call. Keeping my loose hair falling in a curtain over the sides of my face, I log out of my computer and grab my cell phone. I need to take something to one of our guests, and I'm stopping at the ladies. Be right back, I tell him. I step out from behind the concierge desk in the lobby, already starting to perspire from what I'm about to do. I head to the restrooms and hurry into a stall, lock myself in, and take off my panties. I wad them up in a tiny ball. Damn, I have no pockets to stash them in. I grit my teeth and slide them back on. Then I head outside and wait until the elevator bank is empty so that I can ride upstairs alone. At the last minute, a guest joins me in the elevator.
Good evening, she says.
Good evening, ma'am, I say.
Sarah, what are you doing?
I can't believe I'm riding the elevator up to his room. Every floor my heart pounds harder and harder. And when the woman steps out, I can barely suppress my excitement. My whole body trembles with adrenaline and desire as the elevator doors close, and I slip my hands beneath my skirt and take off my panties again. I wad them in my palm and stare anxiously as the floor numbers keep creeping upward. If I'm honest with myself, I will admit that my body hasn't felt normal since I met him. It hasn't felt at peace. Oh no, it's felt sort of shivery, a little too warm, and a little too amped up with female sex hormones. I arrive at his floor, step out, and walk toward room 1103. I knock twice, and then wait, glancing around in paranoia of getting caught. The door opens, and tall, dark, and decadent stands on the other side, and I'm absolutely breathless. The kind of breathless you get when you're at the top of a roller coaster, about to dive down, when no matter how much you want to breathe, you can't. Not really. Only to let out a scream, if you can find your voice at all. It's an odd, uncomfortable feeling, but there's something about this guy that has been pushing all my buttons. The button that says, I haven't had sex in a while. The button that says, I like unavailable men even though I don't want to. The button that says, I think men in suits are hot. The button that says, when I meet a guy that makes me feel fireworks, I'm not going to be a pussy about it and run away. No, I'm going to light up a match and see how high the flames can go. And so here I am, staring at a hotel guest, unaware of his name. Not that it's important. The room is booked under a Californian corporation. They regularly send executives here, but this is the first time that I've seen this particular executive. The first time I'm lighting that match. For some reason, it's easy. It's so easy that I can't believe how quickly I blew off work when he called and asked for me, and how fucking eager I am to drop my panties in his pocket. I smile up at him as I brush past his shoulder and let myself into his room. He grabs my wrist to halt me, tugging me around to face him. The surprised breath that surfaces gets caught in my throat. He looks down at me, slowly shutting the door with his other hand. The guy looks gorgeous in a suit. He looks just as gorgeous without the suit jacket, in only slacks and a white shirt. So what? A lot of men look great in suits. But this one makes my heart pound so hard that I can't stop feeling it in my rib cage. This guy is supernova, and his whole look screams workaholic. Now, hot workaholic's eyes land on the pulse at my throat, and he raises his arm and curls his hand around my neck, stroking my pulse point with his thumb.
"Are you turned on already, Sarah?"
he asks. His face is a little arrogant, his expression reserved, revealing nothing. His shoulders are wide and proud, the kind of shoulders that can hoist you up all day. His lashes are prettier than a girl's, not that I'm jealous or anything. There's pure inky blackness in his eyes, as black as his hair. His features could not be more symmetrical or captivating. The guy looks so comfortable in his skin, you'd have to wonder if he knows he's this attractive. He'd have to be blind not to know. But does it even matter to him at all that he is? He looks like a suit, the hottest suit you've ever seen, and I wonder if he does anything but work. His mouth is curled as if he's on the edge of laughter, and he smiles a little more, flashing me straight, even teeth. As I press closer, he grabs me and boosts me up to the console by the foyer of the suite, and I realize he can definitely get more stuff done than work. He ducks his sooty head, and his lips barely, barely caress mine. A thousand tingles rush down my body, my lips open, waiting, eager. He inhales, growls, and then opens his hot, hard, made-for-sex mouth and presses it fully to mine. Our mouths dissolve in a crazy-as-hell kiss, and his tongue flashes out to set mine on fire with a lick. With one pull of his strong arms, I'm squished against the flat plane of his body and against the wonderful, toe-curling evidence of how freaking hot and stiff this man is for me already. "Do me hard," I whisper, unable to stop kissing him, sliding my fingers into his hair.
"I'm doing you hard."
He shoots me a look so full of sexual innuendo that I expect to turn to cinders any minute.
"And repeatedly."
The man takes my lips again and gives my tongue the best massage it's ever gotten, a massage that promises my whole body a happy ending. I stroke my fingers along the front of his slacks, and I cannot even measure how big he is, because he's huge, and something about him being this well endowed, and about him being ready to give it to me, makes me wetter and wetter. I stroke up and down, and feel myself pant, my whole mind on fire with thoughts of him, how good he feels, smells, kisses, because this is so lit. He is lit. Sarah, the day before. I'm back in New York after a delay in Houston and a storm above Manhattan that kept us circling for an extra half hour. I'm beat and moody, but glad to be home, as I head out the terminal with my suitcase rolling beside me. I'm ready to fill up the tub and forget this weekend entirely, including the fact that my family has broken apart in what feels like a blink. I never saw it coming. I thought my parents would age together, right to the end. I thought they were happy. I thought they were one of the precious few couples in the world still in love with each other. But it turns out that my dad no longer loves my mom. I don't know who's more devastated, my mom or me. Distracted by the thoughts, I realize too late that I've walked down the taxi line, a line that indicates at least an hour wait to the front.
"Line's back there," a moody older man grits out through his teeth.
Startled, my eyes scan to the back of the line and my heart sinks. I pull out my phone and open the Uber app. Last time I tried grabbing an Uber at the airport, it was hell. The guy couldn't find me and I couldn't find him, and I still got charged. Nobody likes to get charged for a service they never enjoyed, so I hesitate. Scanning the area, I notice a man in a suit about to board a taxi. I approach, wondering if I can ask where he's headed and if I can share a ride. The man is bubbling hot, and he knows it, but I try not to get caught up in that. I am too exhausted. As the taxi driver loads his suitcase into the trunk, the man's gaze slides to me. He lifts his brows expectantly, and I open my mouth and quickly blurt, "Nolita, going anywhere near?" He steps back and purses his lips as if annoyed, but motions for me to board. I bristle in defense, a New Yorker's instant reaction to the hostility we face on a daily basis, but I hastily pass my suitcase to the driver and quickly hop inside the cab. The man slides in behind me and shuts the door while I tell the driver my address. My defenses begin to drop once we're on our way and fantasies of my hot tub return to my mind. I turn to thank the man, but he already has his phone to his ear. He speaks with a deep voice, and his answers are a series of curt grunts. He seems like a bit of an asshole, like the type of man with expectations who isn't used to hearing the word no. During my years at the NYU Dance Academy, a lot of the male performers I ended up dancing with expected to go to bed with me. I became an expert at fielding them off. I even had a special move I used when they went in for the kill. I'd push my arm out, palm up, and quickly turn my head. I called it the hell no. It was enough to get the message across, so I thankfully didn't need to say it. The hand move was far more subtle. Will I need to use the hand move with this guy? Excellent question, Sarah. Though something about him is making me think of a different kind of hand move. I shiver as I stroke my gaze up his hard body.
"Yes, and FedEx a copy to the hotel," he barks.
I shift, and his gaze drops to my miniskirt. I feel my brows rise in disbelief, but he's too intent on staring at my thighs to notice. When he speaks into the receiver again, I feel as if he's speaking to me.
"I'm telling you, just open it up, pull it out, and get it to me as soon as possible."
I squirm in my seat. His eyes lift and his lips curl at the corners. I try not to audibly pant when his eyes trail downward again. I swear I see a glimmer of lust in his eyes, but his expression is unreadable.
"Thanks. And have Roberts call me when she gets in."
He cuts the call and pockets his phone. He glances at me in silence. He looks like business, but underneath his suit is an appeal so raw I can only wonder how it would feel to claw my nails under that white button shirt, undo his tie, grab him by the collar, get that perfect black hair mussed, and feel his damn gorgeous hands on me. He narrows his eyes when I lick my lips. Then he looks away, out the window, and sighs, dragging a hand over his face. He curses under his breath, shaking his head and twisting his lips sardonically. I start to wonder if I hallucinated the sexual looks between us, when he curves his lips higher and knowingly says,
"Come closer."
I start and let out a small laugh. "Does that usually work for you?" I whisper.
"I don't know. Does it?"
He shoots me a lazy look, and his inky black eyes reveal a glimmer of mischief. He sighs, tugs on his tie to loosen it a fraction, and leans back against the seat of the car.
"Had a long day."
He kicks his feet out and looks at me, as if expecting me to massage him or something. "Yeah? And I had a long flight." Despite my better judgment, I'm running my eyes over his rather gorgeously wide, flat chest and his handsome boy-next-door face, mixed with porn star smile and the elusiveness of some workaholic that clings to him like that damn hot black suit. He sighs in exasperation.
"Come closer," he says again.
I'm debating whether to offer him a sassy comeback or shock the hell out of him when I do as he asks, but my phone rings, and I wonder if it's my roommate confirming he's finally vacated my apartment. "Hello?" I answer.
"Is this Sarah Davies?"
"Yes, this is Sarah."
"Sarah, this is Carly. You know, the new girl. I was wondering if you could cover my shift for me tonight at the hotel."
"I just got back into town, and I'm exhausted, and my shift doesn't start until tomorrow."
"Oh, thank you so much for doing this for me. I know it's a lot to ask," she squeaks,
as if I just agreed, and hangs up.
Ugh.
I glower at my phone. I'm not ready to go back to work.
And what about my bath?
Ugh.
"Sarah, huh?"
He watches me as I tuck my phone back into my purse. "Do you have something against my name?"
"Nope. Just pictured something more exotic."
He fiddles with his phone, tucks it back into his pocket, and says,
"I want to fuck you in the back of this car, Sarah."
"Yeah? And I want to fuck up your filthy mouth with my fist." I smirk, but my body clutches and shivers inside. I hate the idea that he might be able to see through my smart remark and intuitively know the effect he has on me. I tap the glass and tell the driver, "Change of plans. Drop me off at the Four Seasons Hotel downtown." The stranger in the car next to me seems to bite back a smile as he reaches out to touch a bit of my loose dark hair. My heart begins to pound. I want him to touch more of me. We ride like this for minutes. Hours. The guy simply twirling a strand of my hair around his index finger. His long, thick, tanned index finger with the perfectly trimmed, really short nail. I don't know why, but maybe it's because I know that we're arriving very soon, or maybe because I want to shock the hell out of him, because the guy looks unshockable. I slide down the seat, inching closer to him, and once our hips meet, I shift sideways and ever so slowly swing my leg out and straddle him. I hold my position, our eyes locked, considering the boldness of my move while something very hard presses prominently between my legs. I swallow, bend my head, and whisper in his ear, "Maybe I do want to get fucked in the back of this car, too. Problem is, we're about to arrive." I rock my hips against him, causing his erection to grow more pronounced. His hands possessively lock onto my ass, his fingers biting into my hips. The car halts. We've reached my destination. I swallow again, trying to cover my panting desperation for more. "I hope that improved your day a little," I taunt with a smile as I slide off him. He laughs and watches me narrowly as I grab my carry-on. "Thanks for the ride."
"That's my line," he says, and shifts his position as he adjusts himself in his slacks and follows me out.
Wow, what a gentleman. He heads to the back of the trunk and removes my suitcase. "That's really not necessary, but thank you," I tell him, taking my bag. He grabs his own case, and my eyes widen when he pulls out a bill and pays the driver. I gape at him.
What are you—
"Sarah, thank goodness,"
Carly interrupts, coming up behind us.
"Here, I'll bring this in for you."
She grabs my bag while eyeing the hot motherfucker I rode in with.
"Who is he?"
she gushes, shooting a look past my shoulder as we shuffle inside.
"Nobody. And you're going to owe me big time," I growl under my breath.
As I settle in behind the concierge desk, my gaze follows his movements. I watch him check in at the VIP counter. Then, he walks across the lobby toward me. When I realize where he is headed, my heart starts drumming crazily again. He reaches my desk and leans forward. I didn't think it was possible, but he looks hotter and taller from where I am standing.
"You're an interesting discovery, aren't you?" he says, unsmiling but obviously curious.
"I've existed for a long time. You didn't discover me."
"Oh, but I have. Or you, me."
Maybe he's right. It feels like my existence was all so dull and monotonous until I climbed into the back of this guy's cab.
"I'm tired. Had a long day. I was going out to get a glass of wine and a light dinner before heading off to bed. Would you join me?"
He raises his brows. "I'm on the clock until midnight."
"I understand. What time do you have free tomorrow?"
"I'm covering for a friend, so not until 9 p.m. He nods and walks off.
Boo.
He must not be as interested as I thought. Suddenly, I want to wail. Instead, I pull myself together and get busy behind the desk. I field a couple of calls regarding tickets to Broadway, directions to a restaurant, and in-room Netflix access. I am finishing up with a family when the phone rings. I'm the only concierge on the night shift tonight, so I leap up to answer. "Concierge, this is Sarah speaking."
"Here's the thing. At 12:01 a.m. sharp, I want you upstairs, in my room, pantyless, braless, and with that sexy smile of yours. Oh, and wear your hair down."
"I'm sorry, Mr. Who is this?" I know exactly who it is, but I want to tease him. And I want to know his name.
"Just be there. Dinner and drinks will no longer do."
"Oh, I'm sorry your evening has been..."
"I'll allow you to appease me in my room."
"I apologize. But I'm swamped.
In my panties."
"But there's room at the hotel restaurant if you'd like to come down for dinner," I say as professionally as I can, and hang up with trembling hands. When he walks down to the lobby 10 minutes later, he is bathed and dressed in a navy blue button shirt and dark slacks. Our eyes lock, my nipples pebble, and my mouth waters.
"Hello. Directions to Danielle, please."
His features are chiseled to perfection, more noticeable now that he has slicked his hair back behind his forehead. "Of course," I say, impressed by his dining choice there. He watches me as I take out a map and mark the restaurant's location with a red X. It's been a while since I've given out a paper map. With GPS so prevalent, it's allowed concierges to focus on other things. Like how truly dark his eyes are, and how deeply I sense them watching me from under his lashes. He leans forward as I hand him the map, and the cologne on his skin teases my lungs into breathing a little faster. His hand fully covers mine, and crackles race up my arm and somehow down my legs. He acts as if he doesn't notice my reaction, and casually pockets the map.
"Tomorrow, then, at 9.
He shoots me a look that promises every single wicked delight reflected in his eyes to happen tomorrow at 9. I clench my legs behind the counter and try to keep my heart from kicking in my chest. Damn, I wish I weren't working tonight, so I could work on him and his gorgeous body right now. "If you can manage not to have fun without me until then, that means no coming by yourself or with anyone else," I whisper at him surprisingly. The guy gives me the merest smile and leans even closer.
"Consider it done, if you can assure me the same."
His eyes are dark and penetrating as I bite down on a smile and nod. I feel crazy with need as I watch his broad back and gorgeous ass walk away.
Ian. I've got papers from the World Films takeover strewn across the room, and my focus is about as lax as my cock is hard. I plunge my hands into my pocket and wait by the window. I scan the buildings downtown, not for the first time, wondering why the fuck I'm here. I have a home in New York, so how do I keep ending up in hotels every time I'm in town? Doesn't matter right now. Because she's coming, pun intended. Oh, sweet Sarah will be coming, all right. I dial the hotel concierge from the phone by the bed. Four Seasons Concierge, this is Sarah speaking. Sarah, this is the gentleman from room 1103. Oh, yes. How can I help you, sir? I'd like your panties and a little wad in my pocket and you thrashing in my bed. There's a slight hesitation, and then her answer, not quite steady. Right away, sir. I hang up and stand, my dick stiffening under my slacks, knowing she's about as ready to get it from me as I am to give it to her. I smile as I remember asking her for directions to Daniel, like I need directions for anywhere in New York. Daniel couldn't appease the kind of hunger I'm grappling with. I'm ready for it. I keep checking the minutes, keenly aware that it takes her exactly 8 of them to finally knock. I open the door, and she stands before me with a look of anticipation in her eyes. I stare for a beat, absorbing her. She's slender and a medium height, with a delicate face and skin like the moon. My gaze moves from a set of silver-gray eyes to lips like a plush, perfect red heart, a heart my dick wants to puncture. For a moment, I want to kiss her all fucking night. I can't remember a woman ever looking at me with such anticipation before. Too many years fucking for fucking's sake to remember what it's like to taste or touch. I don't remember ever feeling this damn starved for someone. I seize her neck with one hand, stroking the flutters of her heartbeat that vibrate against my fingertip at her pulse point. I ask her if she's already turned on, and she hesitates in silence. I can tell she's younger than me by decades of experience, even if our age is only a few years apart. She eases into my grip, and I lift her by the ass and drop her down on the entry table. Take it easy, Ford. Damn, you're acting like a crazy man. I try to be gentle as I duck my head and taste her, but she wants it. Her desire, her confidence is even more of a turn-on. I suck and savor her, my hands digging into her ass as I open her mouth. I clench her tight enough to push her tits into my chest. She asks me to do her hard. I tell her exactly what I'm going to do with her. The need to feel her hot and wild around me burns bright as I take another taste. She strokes her hand along my shaft. I feel unhinged. I flip her around. It's less intimate this way. I lift her dress. I drive in. She cries out. I plunge my fingers between her thighs and tease her clit, biting into the back of her neck to pin her in place as I thrust. She moves back, wanting it harder. I grip her hips and catch a glimpse of her in the mirror, of me inside her. I watch her move, the expression of lust on her face. I flip her back around. Suddenly, I cannot look at anything but her damn face. I clench it in one hand and drive back in. Animal sex. Not the kind a mature man would have with the woman he loves. The kind you imagine you'd have with sluts or strangers. She bites my lip and I throw her on the bed. I strip her. I strip too. This time when I fall back on her, I don't give her my dick. I won't last and I don't want it to be over yet. I suckle her tit and wander my mouth lower. My balls tighten against my shaft when I taste the cream between her thighs. I didn't know a taste could be so intoxicating. I finger her as I lick up her clit, around it. There's nothing sweet about the way she comes. She's too wild for that. She dives straight in like an adrenaline junkie would dive off a cliff, without a second thought as to whether or not her bungee string is attached. She rides the waves with uncontrollable movements and a gasp in her throat, her mouth on my neck as she clutches me to her. She's still coming when I flip her to her stomach, lift her ass up and drive into her. She groans deep in her throat and another contraction hits her, tightening her pussy walls around every hard inch. I pump her hard and fast, unable to keep a lid on my groans. I stroke a hand down her spine, cup her ass, her tits, bite her neck, grab her by the hair. The smell of her shampoo is in my nose. Her hip bone is in my hand. Her pussy grips me. Pretty soon, I'm rocketing to the edge, flying past it. I press her down on the bed and bury myself to the hilt, groaning as my release takes over me. I start jetting off, so full that I can't stop my dick from jerking, the waves from crashing. She likes it. Likes me holding her pussy in my palm and caressing. Likes me pinching her clit. I set her off a second time. Set her off so hard she buries her moans into my pillow, shaking beneath me for another 5, 10, 15 seconds. Oh my God, she groans as she flips around. We're both breathing hard and coated with sweat as I sit back and try to reassemble what's left of my brain. She snuggles to my chest, and I ease my arm out from beneath her. I dread seeing her look up at me with stars in her eyes. I'm still too fucking drugged. It takes effort to step away and head to the bathroom to clean up. I splash my face with water and meet my gaze in the reflection. You fucking happy with yourself, Ford? I brace my arms on the sink and exhale, then shove back and head to the room. Not to the bed. No, to the desk, where the majority of my papers are.
After the O. Sarah. I need to leave, but I'm lingering, dressing at a tortoise pace. I slowly ease my panties back up my legs and fix my hair using the mirror above the entry table. He's scanning my ass hungrily, as if I didn't just give him a very big O. I'd never felt a man come for so long. He was filled to the brim. Yum. Your name? I ask as I turn to face him. He stands bare-chested in slacks behind the desk. His gaze alternates from me to the papers on the desk, back to me.
I think it's best that we leave it like this. I don't do...
He motions between us.
I don't do this.
Sex?
Clearly I do that.
He smiles briefly. It's a rather regretful smile, and it doesn't last more than a second. But that second is all it takes to cause my last breath of air to get trapped in my throat. I swallow. He means a relationship. Do I look desperate to him? As casually as I can, I smile back at him, still not breathing quite right. Well then, goodbye, stranger, I say, starting for the door.
Sarah.
His voice stops me, and when our eyes meet again, there's something dark and intense in his gaze.
I enjoyed you. And that hot little body of yours. Very much.
My pleasure, sir. Please consider staying at the Four Seasons on your next visit, I say, trying to make light of the situation as I step out. I board the elevator, sigh, and lean my head back against the wood panel behind me, swooning inside. Have I ever been bitten this much? Have I ever been fucked this hard? I thought my teeth would break, and I fucking loved it. I wanted to sink in my nails and drag them down every inch of his glorious, taut, tanned skin. The way he looked into my eyes when he ate me up, I get chills remembering. And when he had me on all fours, I wanted to scream from the pleasure of the wild, hungry way he drove into me. He tangled and pulled my hair. Why was that so hot? I have never felt so full or seen such a glorious dick in my whole life. My knees wobble thinking about it. Aren't you glad you shared that cab, Sarah? Went upstairs, let him get you off twice and get himself off on you? Yes, yes, yes to it all. I walk into my apartment an hour later, listening to the noises of my next-door neighbors playing video games. Shut up! I bang on our shared bedroom wall, sigh, and slip into bed with my laptop, checking the advertisements for anything Broadway-related. There is nothing. I'm stuck as a concierge for now. I set aside the laptop when my neighbors start screaming at their video game again, and I groan and cover my head with my pillow, deciding noise-canceling earphones will be the first thing I buy when I have extra money.
I keep telling myself this, but I always manage to spot a nice pair of shoes I want instead. Thoughts of money lead to thoughts of my impending rent payment. My roommate has moved out, and I'm finally alone, but now I have to cover the entire bill. I sit up, open my computer, and start drafting a want ad. Dark eyes flash in my mind. My heart stops for a beat before resuming. God, what a yummy motherfucker he was.
Ian, 2 days ago. The droning sound of her voice over the telephone goes on and fucking on. I exhale and growl, talk to my lawyer, and I slam the receiver into the cradle. I glare at the phone and grind my palms into my eyes before exhaling and dropping my hands to my lap. What the fuck happened? We dated all through college and after graduation, took the next logical step and moved to New York. I made money. I kept making money, giving her more than she ever dreamed we would have. A four-bedroom West End Avenue penthouse with views of the Hudson. Generous shopping sprees at Bergdorf. Exotic vacations via chartered private jets. I thought only of earning more, providing more, until the day I walked into our apartment to find a pair of cufflinks that weren't mine. I asked if she'd been fooling around. She denied it. Like a fool, I believed her story about buying them as a gift for me. I ignored the fact that they were already open and there was no empty package. I took them. I even wore them to our next event, like a goddamn fool. 8 months later, I walked into our apartment to find two glasses of wine in the sink, her shoes on the floor, and a string of underwear leading to our bedroom. I stood by the door, listening to them. Them. My wife and someone else. My whole body trembled as I yanked the door open and charged at him. I grabbed him off her, turned him around, and sent him flying to the wall. We're done, I spat at her, gathering the man's shit and shoving it into his chest. And you never, ever step back here if you know what's good for you. He was some young accountant who worked for the firm my film company hired, who was helping my wife with her personal expenses. Ha! Ian, she begged, you're never here. You, I snarled, are here because of me. I motioned to the apartment, every luxury she could ever want on display. You're fucking here because of me, Cordelia. I looked into her eyes, once so innocent and sweet, a girl who used to bake me cakes she served with homemade ice cream when it was my birthday. What happened to her? What happened to us? You're never here, she sobbed. I'm 25 years old, Ian. I have needs. I shook my head, the disappointment in me, in her, in us, crushing me to the point that my lungs could hardly pull in air. You could have talked to me. I've tried. She covered her face and lowered her gaze. I grabbed a suitcase and started packing my bags. Where are you going? Ian, please. Out. I'm not coming back. You'll hear from my lawyer. I zipped my suitcase shut in record time. It was always something I did with a shade of reluctance when I had to leave on another business trip. This was the first time I packed a bag without a moment's thought. It doesn't have to be like this, she chased me to the front door and froze unexpectedly when I faced her. No, it didn't, I said, glancing down at her clothes on the floor and her naked body as proof of her betrayal, and I walked out. It's been over a year, and our divorce is still not finalized. I told her to keep the apartment. All I want is her signature. I want to be free of her and the reminder of how goddamn stupid I was. I can't believe I have to go back to fucking New York tomorrow. I pressed the intercom button to my assistant. Make sure you don't book my room under my name. I don't want her to get even a whiff of me being in the city, I growl. And don't put her through to me next time she calls. I release the intercom button, exhale, and lean back in my chair, scraping a hand across my jaw. 12 and a half months since that fateful night, and it still looms over me like a cloud. She said all I did was work. It wasn't true. But her words were prophecy, and that's all I ever do now. All I ever am. Work and bitterness and distrust and money, lots of money. Lately, I wonder if there's anything on this damn planet that'll get me to feel human again. I shoot an email to my divorce lawyer and ask to meet him in New York. I need a divorce. Ian. Present day. I need a divorce. Now. So you've said? Matthias Wahlberg sits across the lunch table from me. Just another day for my divorce lawyer. But I have to state once more that without her consent and without proof of her affair, it's going to... I have proof, I say, cutting him off. Leaning down to my briefcase, I enter the combination, click it open, and pull out the cufflinks. I drop them on the table. These cufflinks? I'm sure they're his. You are sure? How? We have no proof of him wearing them. I drop them back into my briefcase in a quick, frustrated move and drag a hand across my face. Look, I need this done. She doesn't seem to want to divorce you. Nobody wants to divorce me. My name opens doors. Cut her credit cards. And have her starve, I growl, shaking my head. Ian, we've known each other for a long time. Talk to her. See if you can appeal to the heart inside. I exhale and lean forward. Give her whatever she wants. The West End apartment, the Cabo house, half my cash, but the company stays with me. Give her anything else. And get me that damn divorce, I growl and shove away from the table. I climb into a cab and head back to the hotel. I need to finish my paperwork and deliver it to my New York office before my 5 p.m. flight back to L.A. And yet, while the driver wades through traffic, it's not work I'm thinking about as I stare out the window. I see her in every woman walking down the sidewalk. Some have her hair. Some have her legs. I lean closer to the window when I spot one that I'm sure is her. She's nicely shaped like Sarah, with the same long, elegant neck, her dark hair held back in a ponytail. She's wearing a knee-length black dress, and it hugs her body just right when she bends to pick up something she's dropped. I drink her in. The taxi halts in the middle of traffic, and I curve my fingers around the door handle, ready to leap out. The woman lifts her head and stands again. It's not Sarah. Not her eyes, not her face. Definitely not her lips. Jesus, man, get over it already. I exhale and drop my hand to my knee, drumming my fingers restlessly. I fucked her. A one-time thing. But it opened the gaping hole that makes me crave human touch, human connection. A woman's scent, a woman's voice. This girl may be the key to open me back up. I consider it for a minute. But only a minute. What for, Ford? There's nothing good of you left. I walk into the lobby and head straight toward the concierge desk. She's not there. Sarah? I ask. She's home. I'm covering for her because of the day she covered for me. Do you want me to call her, Mr.? I pull out a card. Ask her to call me. She flashes a rather coy and flirtatious smile, which I ignore, and ask her for an envelope and write a message on the back of the business card. It's Ian. I'm taking care of personal things. Maybe soon I'll have more to offer than what I did last night. I drop the card into the envelope and seal it shut, as the concierge tends to a family. By the time she's done, I've had a full 3 minutes to rethink the whole thing. As she waves the family off, I grab the sealed envelope and jam it into the front pocket of my coat. I walk away, and behind me, the concierge calls out, "Sir, are you going to leave that with me?" I lift my hand without turning. Obviously not. There's no point in leaving her a one-way ticket to nowhere. Better to leave what happened where it is. A one-night stand, nothing more.
Rumi. Sarah. I posted an ad looking for a roommate, and pray that the right person applies.
because the roommate from hell nightmare has been non-stop. My first roommate was a guy who was always lazing around in the apartment, a fucking slob I had to pick up after, who was always late paying the rent. I kicked him out. The next was a young student who came to NYU and left after one semester. She didn't feel like it was the right fit, and wanted a more traditional college, with a campus. Once again, I was left paying the rent on my own, and desperate to find the right roommate. Third time's the charm, I assure myself. I reread the ad I placed 2 weeks ago, make sure it's still there, and slap my laptop shut. Then I continue looking for gigs in the paper. I've always seen myself on Broadway, but I guess the universe didn't see me there. I broke my ankle the first week I was rehearsing for my first big break. They gave me a pat on the back, a thank you, and sent me on my way with my cast, a boot, and my soul and heart crushed. Still having to cover the rent, I applied as a concierge to a trendy 4-star hotel downtown that caters mostly to businessmen, and thankfully got the job. Still, I can't shake the feeling that I want to do something more with my life. Something I'm passionate about, and also happen to be good at. Sometimes it's hard to marry both, and you end up with a career you're good at, and a hobby you're passionate about. I'll take anything, but the restlessness I feel whenever I think of my old dreams of performing for an audience won't let me stop looking. Sighing, I set the paper aside, head to the bathroom to fill the tub, and once it's ready, I dip my feet, and then the rest of me, inside. My mind wanders as I scrub myself. It's strange, but every time I hop into the tub now, I think of him. Maybe because I desperately craved to slip into the tub the night he and I met. Or maybe because he's always popping into my mind. It happened over 2 weeks ago, and I still haven't been able to figure out his name. But that's all right. I bet he can't top it a second time. If I can't find him, then I'd rather keep the memory. I run the sponge over my body, and the awakened slut in me clamors for more and more. I haven't had sex since him. What's the point? It won't compare. It can't. I'm saving myself for him again, but how on earth am I supposed to find him? Where are you, you sexy motherfucker? I groan as I dip my finger under the water, down between my legs. Oh, yes. I've made myself come thinking of him more times than I can count. Maybe I should go out and have some actual sex. You know, with a partner. But a replacement man holds no appeal, so I close my eyes and go for it. I'm not hurting anyone. And who knows? Maybe the fact that I want to see him again, so very desperately, will make him materialize at the hotel one of these days.
Sarah, the man in 1103 wants a reservation at...
I nearly fall.
Excuse me? Mr. Thackeray. He wants a reservation at Mr. Chow.
I glance at the man across the concierge desk from Carly. It's not him. Get a grip on yourself, Sarah, I groan inwardly. I exhale, shaking my head as I get to making the reservation. Some of our older guests don't know about open table and keep making us do this for them. Done. 8:30, party of four, sir. Would you like directions? After he nods, I pull out a map and explain the restaurant location while Carly tends to another guest.
You need to get laid, Robert, one of my co-workers, says when the guests leave.
I shake my head. I need to dance. Oops, hang on, my phone's buzzing. I get my phone out but don't recognize the number. Hello?
Hi, I just arrived in the city and saw the ad saying you're looking for a roommate.
A pause.
Are you still looking?
Yes. Who's this?
It's Bryn Hayworth. Can we meet today? I sort of... don't have anywhere to sleep tonight and was hoping...
I'm heading out in a half hour. Meet me in Nolita in an hour. I give her the address of my building. We can talk and see if we'll be a good fit.
On my way, she chirps,
and I hang up. Damn it. She's not from here.
Outsiders are a pain. More than a roommate, some want a tour guide, and I don't have time to take anyone around the city. Still, when I wrap up, I head to my apartment and tell myself I can't afford to be picky. Without a roommate, my salary, minus the rent, will leave little for food and nothing for fun. When I arrive, it's not hard to spot her. She's a young woman, about my age, standing by the building entrance with four suitcases surrounding her and a laptop bag slung from her shoulder. "Bryn?" I ask drolly, rising my eyebrows.
"Sarah?"
I nod, almost laughing to myself as we eye each other. I'd planned to interview her, but there's a puppy dog look in her eyes that gets to me. God, I'm a sucker for lost ones. Plus, the last thing this girl looks like is a criminal. Nope, she's fashionably dressed, wearing little makeup, with her soft chestnut hair held back, and I'm suddenly struck with the fact that she's the one. The one I've been waiting for.
"Well, what are you waiting for? Bring those up," I tell her, motioning to the luggage and grabbing two of the bags for her.
"Does this mean I'm your new roommate?" She sounds incredulous but ecstatic as she grabs the bags and follows me into the building.
"No, this means I like to take in strays," I say as we climb into the elevator. At her confused silence, I nudge her.
"Of course, you're my roommate. We'll talk a bit upstairs."
"Oh," she laughs, and we haul the suitcases out of the elevator and down the hall to my apartment. Setting my cargo down, I open the door and motion her in. "Say hello to your new home." I switch on the lights and help her roll the suitcases inside. She glances around, a smile on her lips. "It's not a lot, but it's comfortable and in a great location," I say, as I lead us to her room. "This'll be your room. Did you bring your own sheets?" I flip on the light switch, and she nods and glances at the stripped bed in the middle of the room.
"Great," I say as I pull open the drapes. "The mattress could use a little vacuuming."
I move around the room, switching on the nightstand lamps and showing her the bathroom. "It'll be nice not to sleep alone here tonight. I like the company," I say, as Bryn happily examines her room.
"Okay, so, rules." I clap and move on to the serious stuff. "If you bring guys, please lock the door and do it in your room. Don't use my couch. Also, we split groceries and every other bill. Otherwise, it's a hassle to have to label everything in the fridge. As for cleaning, one of my roommates was a slob. Don't be a slob."
I head to the door, adding, "You clean your room, I clean mine. We alternate the common areas."
"Sounds good. Hey, do you have an extra towel? I forgot mine."
"Sure." I bring her a towel and toss it into the air, and she catches it and carries it to the bathroom, where she neatly tucks it into the towel holder.
"So, where are you from?" I ask.
For the next hour, we get to know each other. I learn that Bryn is from Ohio, that she's 30, 2 years older than I am, and is in the city looking for her big break. Aren't we all? By the time she settles in and I cook us some pasta, I feel like I've known her forever.
"So, this startup, you design the clothes?" I ask over wine and my special spaghetti carbonara.
Bryn is midway through a forkful of pasta and makes an sound as she slurps up the string that dangles from her lips. She laughs a little, pats her lips with a napkin, and sets it aside.
"I design them, and sometimes utilize old vintage clothes and fabrics nobody uses, mixing it up with something new and fresh," she says, eyeing her empty glass of wine mournfully. "I'm not yet sure of how to market all this. I just like fashion, but I'm not great at business, something I'd need to be good at in order to take it to the next level."
"Which is why you want an investor," I prod, pouring her more wine.
"Yep."
"I'm sorry I can't help there." I shake my head as I pour myself a second glass too. "I love the designs you just showed me on your phone, but I'm in much the same situation as you are."
"You are?" Her eyes spark up in interest. "Don't tell me you're also a designer."
"Oh, no. Hell no." I wave that off, then take a sip of my wine and set it aside. I'm a concierge at the Four Seasons, but my real dream is to perform on Broadway. I've been a dancer my whole life. Even after I broke my ankle, I used to dance in my head for hours while I lay in my bed with a cast. I smirk, remembering those rather hard and dreary days. To prove my point, I grab our now empty plates and dance my way to the kitchen, hoisting the plates in the air as I do. Her laugh makes me feel light and happy.
"You're good," she says.
I can tell she means it, and something about the honest encouragement in her voice makes me feel more confident.